Hello, pilgrims. It's Pastor Bob. It's May 20th, and thus it's episode 20 of our Mark in May Walk with Jesus Together. We're going to have another day spent with Jesus and see what happens, what is taught, what is done, what we witness, and how it affects us. I was getting up today, getting ready for our new day with Jesus, thinking about the last thing he said to us yesterday. Do you remember that? The very last thing he said to us. He said these words. It's chapter 13, verse 23, if you want to look. Chapter 13, verse 23. Remember when Jesus said, "But be alert, I have already told you everything." That means if anybody tells you something that you haven't heard from Jesus yourself, don't trust it. You read the Gospels, you spend time with Jesus, and he'll tell you everything there is for us to know, everything we need to know. He teaches us on a need-to-know basis. Everything we need to know is right here. It's available to us. Be alert to what people tell you, he says. I have already told you everything. Let's pick it up right there. A little sip of kava tea. Got a double bag this morning. Getting the extra kava effect. Our candle's in full flame. By the end of today, it'll be down to short flame. Let me quiet down the monks a little. They were especially enthusiastic this morning. Here we go. Chapter 13, verse 24. Remember, he has just said, "But be alert, I have already told you everything. But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is here. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Be aware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Another day with Jesus. A lot of deep teaching about what seems like the end times or the coming of the Son of Man, the lesson of the fig tree, the need to always be alert and awake, for you never know when it comes. We slide into chapter 14 and hear a little piece about, you know, where the chief priests and scribes are at in their plan to arrest and kill Jesus. And then what's known as the anointing at Bethany. So we end the day in Bethany, outside of Jerusalem, as we often did in the week leading up to Passover. So let us walk through that day one more time. Now that we know what's coming, let us let go of anything we're clinging to or attaching ourselves to. Let's delete the hard drive, become a blank slate for Jesus to impress upon us the message he has for us today. And let's begin. Jesus speaks. "But in those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven." So one phrase in here that can be very problematic is he will gather his elect, which is a verse used by many of those who believe in predestination to affirm that there's only going to be a certain number or group or chosen few who are saved in the end. Then he will send out the angels and gather his elect. Well, if we read everything that Jesus has said to us already, we can assume for sure that the elect is us. It's all of us. It's everyone. He has already told us that many, many times, and he's shown us that many, many times. In fact, he's announcing us as the new elect. It's everyone. Everyone's part of his elect. Previously, they were often tribes and groups, including the Jews, who thought they were the elect. But here he's talking about his elect. And it's clear from the Gospels, even just the Gospel of Mark, that his elect are all God's children. On to the fig tree. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branches becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. At the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. So here he seems to be saying that the things he has just talked to us about and described, all these things in such visual, graphic, earthly language, he says, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near. Well, these things can take place at any time. There's not a set time for what he's talking about, the coming of the Son of Man. They are continuous. They are always happening. They are eternal, happening beyond time, so that at any time you're seeing them in your own earthly experience, you are knowing that he is near at the very gates, that you yourself are getting close to the gates of the kingdom of God. In fact, he tells you that you and your generation will not pass away without the opportunity to see all these things taking place. He even goes on to say heaven and earth will pass away. The way we see the world in our temporal eyesight, in our linear worldview, there's heaven, then there's earth, they're separated. He says heaven and earth will pass away. We need to lose that thought of how the world works. But then he says, my words will not pass away. We need to live by his words, not by these assumptions and alternative ways of thinking that we are being taught. In fact, if you go back to yesterday and today, it's all about learning the wrong things and how we need to change our viewpoint, the false heresies that we can be presented with, that scripture can even be used to present. He's saying the new things. Believe him. We actually take what he's teaching us and make him into our own things. Don't do that. Let him teach us new, afresh. Let us unlearn what we have learned and learn new from him. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. They're eternal. But about that day or hour, no one knows. And even though Jesus says that, how many people try to pretend they know? It's just amazing to me how many people that are call themselves experts in the Bible and scholars of the Word, and yet they read the Bible and they have figured out when this specific day, and it's not even a day as we've already talked about, this is a continuous ongoing event in the life of the earth and its people. But they want to think of it again in their very linear, earthly, literal way and come up with a day. Even though here Jesus says no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, only the Father knows that. Only the Father. It's something kept from the knowledge of the earth. Therefore, beware, keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his slaves in charge, each with his work, and commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else he may find you asleep when he comes suddenly. And what I say to you, I say to all, keep awake. It was 2 days before Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said, not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people. While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was the ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you want. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body before its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Of course, in other gospels and in scholarly tradition, we often take that woman to have been Mary of the Mary and Martha sister fame in Bethany, Lazarus's sister. But you know, there's this line in here, "The poor will you shall always have with you." Now, this is a way of taking a whole set of text about Jesus, verses really 3 through 9, right? This story of the anointing. And this is called text proofing. So let's pick out one little text that Jesus says and take it out of context and use it in a different way than he is using it. So let's take verse 7, "For you always have the poor with you," and let's stop there. So we lift that verse out, and that verse has been used many, many hundreds, thousands, and millions of times to teach us that we really can't do anything to help the poor, that the poor will always be with us, that we'll always have them, and we need to focus on things that will make a difference. And of course, that's just a complete heresy of anything that Jesus teaches, and even this story, which that's not even what he's teaching when he says the poor you'll always have with you. You can always show kindness to them, and you should, but you can't always show kindness to me. He's teaching him about himself and whether he's always there or not, not about the poor. Yes, the poor you'll always have, and that's going to be part of your life from now on, is to help them. Me? I might be gone in a week. You never know. She's doing the right thing. May 20th, another day with Jesus. And we seem to be getting into areas that's more and more perplexing and complicated as we get closer and closer to what will be the end, although we don't know that yet, do we? Hey, Jesus is coming over. I think he's going to have his little evening session with us before we retire for the day. Let's hear what he has to say. Jesus, when your sins weigh heavily upon you, come to me. Confess your wrongdoings, which I know all about, before you say a word. Stay in the light of my presence, receiving forgiveness, cleansing, and healing. Remember that I have clothed you in my righteousness, so nothing can separate you from me. Whenever you stumble or fall, I am there to help you. Your tendency is to hide from your sin, to seek refuge in the darkness. There you indulge in self-pity, denial, self-righteousness, blaming, and hatred. But I am the light of the world, and my illumination decimates the darkness. Come close to me, and let my light envelop you, driving out darkness and permeating you with peace. And thus concludes episode 20 of Mark in May. I hope you have a blessed day today and a restful evening. Until tomorrow, may God shine his favor on you and your family.